You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A good morning, ladies. And gentlemen. Great to see everyone. Grateful, Jay, for a great word at 9. And for those of you who are going to the 11, you have that to look forward to. As always, a wonderful word from Jay. We're delighted to offer this morning. I was kind of hoping Jay was going to carry me, and I think Jay was hoping I was going to carry him. And we feel good about this. We feel very good about this as we begin. But let me begin by offering a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Even in the midst of all the good heavens, all the drain of this season, the gift of it, and of course, the reality that the light has shined in the darkness, that the Word indeed has become flesh, that you, most gracious God, have made your dwelling among us. And Lord, for us as we gather today, be in the midst of us, and I pray specifically for every person gathered here in the place where we need you to come and dwell with us, and pray that you would indeed come and dwell in those places in our lives, that your light and that your truth might come to us. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a few clips. I thought what we do today is, let me just start off right away with a clip. Is this volume here?
I think
maybe?
The volume's up, so
okay.
Let's get a little test.
No, I mean, obviously, Christmas vacation, thank you. Jay's going to help me use this computer. Cousin Eddie, I mean,
the lights need to come down.
Yeah, the lights. Let me back it up a smidge, just because you always need a little more Cousin Eddie.
Tom offered to quote the whole movie for us, so we always have it as a fallback.
Why don't you go back into the room and enjoy yourself, huh?
Oh, boy. Let's go find your sister.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the Song of Grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear? Grace! Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation with liberty and justice for all.
As good as it looks. I think we're all in for a very big treat.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Okay, Eddie. Here's the heart. your cat by any chance eat Jell-O?
I don't know about the cat, but I sure am enjoying it.
Hey, kids. I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on his way in from New York.
You serious, Clark?
Oh, I love that. Good heavens. None of these are complete without some Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation. Of course, as we know, the cat was about to blow along with the Christmas tree. And if you remember, the whole premise of the movie is Clark has gotten this grand idea that he's going to put in a swimming pool. That's going to be the big Christmas reveal. And of course, he is depending upon his Christmas bonus to actually fund the check that he wrote for the down payment on the pool. And of course, you remember he gets the delivery late, the jelly of the month, exactly. The jelly of the month club was the boss decided to cut and save some money this year. And of course, Cousin Eddie, as Clark's Christmas present, goes and finds his boss and brings him to him. And you remember all the different things which happened throughout. But I would say one of the things, what I wanted to begin with as we think about, Christmas and the Christmas season and the competing narratives for Christmas. If you were going to pick a word, this is kind of, I guess what I'm thinking, but if you were going to pick a word for Christmas, sort of as it's presented to us and as we often take it over, what would that word be?
Joyous.
Chaos. All right. Chaos, joyous. We see. Very revelatory, thank you. Anything else? Chaos, yeah, joyous, absolutely.
Greed.
Pardon me?
Greed.
Greed, oh, certainly greed, consumption, trying to create some sort of image, trying to create some sort of emotion, a feeling. Certainly, yeah, trying
stress.
To create. Pardon me?
Stress.
Amen, praise the Lord. Stress, we might throw in there fatigue, a little bit of fatigue.
Joy.
Pardon me?
Enjoy.
Absolutely. One word that I've thought of in thinking about this, and why I love this clip that I showed just a moment ago, and I think this is often one of the challenges we run into in life in general, and it's expectations. Expectations. And I think that's a lot of what Christmas sells as far as the way that it's presented is something that we can create, right? We can create this wonderful experience. We can create this wonderful family moment. We can create this security and peace and joy. And of course, everyone knows that if we just work a little harder and get a little more stressed about it, that will bring peace and joy to all of our family around us. That's been proven to work repeatedly. And I love when he cuts in to the turkey. Of course, it looks great. It looks great, and then poof, it's empty. It's empty on the inside. And again, not to be overly negative about traditions and trying to create things. I'm married to a person for whom I give thanks on a daily basis. But one of the things that we have to be very, just don't tell her I said this. One of the things that we have to be very, exactly, turn the recording off if you will, please. One of the things we have to be very careful about at my house is when you do something, it's a tradition. If you take a trip, it's a tradition. And the other thing, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. But there's only one kind of math in our house, and it's addition. There's always this fear of like if we do this, this will become part of the tradition. But I just want to begin with and turn it over to Jay in just a moment. But I do think one of the challenges often with this season for us, and again, you have these competing narratives, but it's all the expectation that we put on something, and often with expectations as well, we have the expectation that we should feel one way or another. And of course, our emotions don't match up with the season on the calendar. You know, it's Valentine's Day. You may not feel romantic. It's Thanksgiving. You may not feel especially thankful. It's Christmas. You may not feel especially joyful. And I'm not saying that one can't. But the wonderful thing in our text, one of the texts is this text from John's Gospel, the opening prologue. And of course, one of the things that we see in John, and not just here in John, but throughout the scripture, is that the people of God and the people of the world, expectation is part of it. And not only expectations of the way things should be and what we'd like to experience and the way that we'd like ourselves to be, or our holiday to be, or our family to be, and in our efforts to make it into that. But one of the things as well we see is that we have expectations of God, don't we? We have expectations of the way that God should work, and the way that God should appear, and the way that God should reveal himself. Jay quoted from Luke 4, Jesus, of course, saying those wonderful words, I am the fulfillment. And do y'all remember what happened immediately after Jesus spoke those words? Yeah, they wanted to throw him off the cliff. Exactly. They're like, you know, it's kind of at the outset. You know what? Here's a promising young man from our town, and we're really excited about this. And then, of course, Jesus said those words, that today these scriptures has been fulfilled in your hearing. And, of course, what he's saying is, I am the fulfillment. And we hear in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this is amazing. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have this word of fulfillment. That God comes actually, and that we remember, that God comes to step into all these things which we try to manufacture, and comes to actually be the fulfillment, to be the light which we need and which we long for. And so, let's turn it over to you. This could be dicey here.
No, let's do this. As I'm speaking, maybe we
I'll,
can.
I'll play with that.
How maybe?
Yeah, I'm really good at this.
Now, I've always been moved, thanks Greg, John's prologue, here, let me give you my password. Here we go.
Gardner.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's this. We read the John prologue every Christmas season, you know, those 2 weeks following Christmas, it gets pride of place, and I'm always moved by going on further, verse 16 it picks up, and from his fullness, that being Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I'm always just so struck by that. You know, we implicitly and often explicitly talk a lot about law and grace, both from God's end, but also the little L laws in our lives. And that's kind of what we're talking about with expectations, all the little L laws we put on ourselves. But I'm moved at Christmas that, like, that's front and center, that the grace of Jesus Christ, in contradistinction to the expectations, the law, is given. The clip I was going to show is actually from Home Alone, which is one that we purchased some time ago because my son William just loves it. And it turns out he looks a lot like Kevin McAllister still. So I have a hard time sometimes watching this and not imputing my son into it. This is a rather extended clip. If it goes too long, Craig, let me know. We'll cut it. But again, to the expectations, but kind of what emerges here is everybody in the scenes that will be shown are in need of grace and truth. They've been kind of lying to themselves to this point in the movie. And so you see some repentance that is rethinking as they've been approached by grace and truth from the outside. And you'll even see symbolically, Kevin goes to Santa Claus here, this fake Santa Claus, really with a prayer request. I mean, he's not asking for gifts. He's saying, bring my family home. You remember the premise of the film. He's been left home alone. His family's in Paris on a vacation. They left him. And you think, oh, poor, pitiful Kevin, you know, he's a victim. No, he's a total jerk. I mean, he's not a good kid. He kind of deserves, in some measure, what he's gotten. So there's kind of a waking up he's experiencing here, a little bit of repentance. But first he goes to Santa Claus, and then you'll notice after that, he goes to the church. It's really kind of fascinating where he his eyes are opened. Let me just play.
What's next? Rabies shot for the Easter Bunny?
Santa got a parking ticket.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, should make it quick. Santa's got a little get-together he's late for.
Okay. I know you're not the real Santa Claus.
What makes you say that? Just out of curiosity.
I'm old enough to know how it works.
All right.
But I also know that you work for him. I'd like you to give him a message.
Shoot.
I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard. Do you need the phone number?
No, that's right.
Okay, this is extremely important. Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Lenny, and Jeff, and my aunt and my cousins. And if he has time, my Uncle Frank. Okay?
Okay. See what I can do.
Thanks.
Wait, hold on a second. My elf took the last of the candy canes home to her boyfriend.
That's okay.
No, don't be silly. Everybody sees Santa's getting you something. Here, pull out your little paw there. There you go. Spoil your dinner.
I won't. Thanks.
Thank you. red-haired girl. She's about your age. You know her?
No.
You live next to me, don't you?
Yeah.
You can say hello when you see me. You don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of things going around about me, but none of it's true. Okay? Been a good boy this year?
I think so.
You swear to me?
No.
Well, this is the place to be. You're feeling bad about yourself.
It is?
I think so.
Are you feeling bad about yourself?
No.
I've been kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family. Even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love them. But you don't forget that you love them. And you can hurt them and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
Came to hear my granddaughter sing. I can't come to hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
No, he's grown up. He lost our tempers. And I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it. And you won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad. Especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot. For your granddaughter, anyway. I'm sure she misses you. And the presents.
And your check.
Wish my grandparents said that. They always show me clothes. Last year, I got a sweater with a big bird knitted on it.
That's nice.
Not for a guy in the second grade. You can get beat up for in second grade. Yeah, I have a friend who got nailed because there was a rumor he wore dinosaur pajamas.
You better run along home where you belong. You think about what I said, all right?
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
I know that was rather extended, but I love that scene. And again, speaking expectations that Craig mentioned, and just how things aren't perfect. And yeah, it's a broken situation. The man can't see his daughter's Christmas performance except for at the rehearsal because he's in conflict with his son. I mean, this is the real world. And this is the real world in which Jesus came to and was incarnated. I mean, Jesus did not come into, as our friend Jim Monroe says, he did not go to the Ritz-Carlton. You know, he found himself in a feeding trough. And so Jesus inserts himself into the messy reality of human sin and brokenness. And you think of it, the feeding trough he's lying in, stinky shepherds worshiping him, pagan magi who bring the first gifts. I mean, nothing's right. Bloodthirsty Herod, teenage mom. I mean, everything. It's a mess. And that's the world that Jesus chooses to make his appearance. And so for you and me, and like this man at Home Alone, I mean, our mess is not too big for God.
And so I love in the scene that, yeah, there's repentance, there's grace and truth that draws them to real repentance. Because you notice at first they're not honest with themselves. I've been a good boy. It's like, wow, actually, if I reflect on it, I've been a really quite a little turd. And the man too. He says, I'm fine. And then he goes on, he's like, well, actually things aren't so good. And so I think that external grace that they both receive from one another, his name's Mr. Marley. I have to think that's a reference to Dickens, Jacob Marley. But, you know, for the whole movie, he's the scary neighbor. He's unapproachable. And in the final scene, I'm not going to show it. You can go watch it. You've probably seen it. The whole movie, Mr. Marley's been trying to wave, and Kevin's scared. He won't wave back. But in the final scene, Mr. Marley's reconciled with his family. You see them hugging out in the yard, and he waves. And, of course, Kevin waves back because his family is there too. And just a split second later, everything's perfect. And then you hear the older brother yelling in the background, Kevin, what did you do? So, I mean, things are okay. And then all of a sudden they're not again. But again, yeah, grace and truth, again, kind of the word that Jesus brings into our real mess, into our real crisis. So I think we need some Charlie Brown to clean us up here.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
The Charlie Brown is worth it just for, I couldn't remember the Vince Guaraldi trio, the Charlie Brown soundtrack, just that in and of itself, worth it. Absolutely worth it. Here, I'll give you this. But I appreciate what Jay had to share. Just thinking along those lines as well. We'll hear in just a moment in Charlie Brown's Christmas story, and talk about little L laws here. Where do I begin? Let's see here. We'll just go to this. I'm going to try. Here we go. It begins, if you remember how it begins with Charlie Brown wanting to wanting to figure out the true meaning of Christmas.
I'm trying to full screen it.
Yeah, I'm trying to full screen it, Jay. It's pretty complicated stuff. This commercial brought to you by Disney Plus.
Comes to life.
The Velveteen Rabbit, ladies and gentlemen.
Leave me, boy.
That looks good, actually.
Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
Is that a great line? I know no one likes me, but why do we have to have a holiday to emphasize it? So poor Charlie Brown at the outset here. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I'm not feeling the. And that's kind of, as Jay wonderfully said, little L law. There's Charlie Brown putting the law on himself. I don't feel the way that I'm supposed to feel. So there's something wrong with me. And to some degree, of course, the answer is yes. That's the issue of the human condition. Thus the need for grace and truth to come in. Why we need a Savior to come into the world. Because it's not quite right. We're not quite right. And then poor Charlie Brown is expressing this, and then there's Linus piling on, just basically saying those words, which are so very helpful, quit being so gloomy. Quit being so gloomy. Those things that we say to one another that are most helpful. I think perhaps my, the word, whenever I tell Paula not to worry, that goes over really, really well. And when she tells me, don't be so sensitive, I just love her so much more. Every time she says that, I'm just like, how fortunate am I? Because what I hear in that is, don't be such a baby. That's kind of, I'm still eight. And so that's how I translate that. But, poor Charlie Brown, he's looking for the meaning of Christmas here. Yeah, he's wondering what to do, if you remember, it's only 30 minutes. It's beautiful, and of course he ends up being the director of the Christmas pageant, and as he's directing it, of course he's getting a lot of feedback, which is not especially helpful, and he's still on this search, and so here's where we pick up.
Brown, don't you think it's great?
It's all wrong. Look, Charlie, let's face it. We all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket.
It's run by a big Eastern syndicate, you know.
Well, this is one play that's not going to be commercial.
Look, Charlie Brown, what do you want?
The proper mood. We need a Christmas tree.
Hey, perhaps a tree. A great, big, shiny aluminum Christmas tree. That's it, Charlie Brown. You get the tree. I'll handle this crowd.
Okay, I'll take Linus with me. The rest of you, practice your lines.
Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown.
Maybe paint it pink.
Yeah, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown.
I don't know, Linus. I just don't know. Well, I guess we better concentrate on finding a nice Christmas tree.
I suggest we try those stitch lights, Charlie Brown. This really brings Christmas close to a person.
Even
you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Universal Orlando Resort proudly presents...
and we're back. And... Well, that... We couldn't have dialed that up better. It ends... the Charlie Brown Christmas story ends, if you remember, this beautiful moment that I'm going to play, and that'll be our conclusion. Just the word... that God has come into the world to reconcile that which is unreconcilable. That wonderful word of grace and truth, that wonderful word of reconciliation, that wonderful, full and greater word which is given to us this season in the midst of, as we noted, all the mess, all the fears. You read Luke 2, they're being pressed upon. Caesar Augustus is demanding that they come this way, and the fatigue and the uncertainty and all the feelings of displacement. And in the midst of that, glory and light and reconciliation happens.
It's a great way if I can get this one working to go out here.
Sinners reconciled. Heavenly Father, thank you that in Jesus, your Son, you've come forth into the world to reconcile us to you. Amen.
You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.